Welcome to the Serial Entrepreneur Podcast, where your fun and professional hosts take you on morning adventures in the world of startups. From simple to complex, disruptive, or just plain genius, startup ideas are chewed over to see if they get soggy or can stay crunchy in milk. So grab your favorite bowl of cereal and let's dig in.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Olga. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good. How are you today?
I'm doing great as well. I got my new cereal, something new to try.
All right.
And I'm excited. These are, opening up the bag right now, Dunkaroos cereal.
Oh my gosh, what is
which
this?
Just proves to you they'll make anything out of a cereal. You've heard of Dunkaroos before?
No.
Little cookies. It's like a snack, a completely unhealthy snack where you have these little cookie treats.
That's why I haven't heard about
frosting.
It.
Yeah, that's why. And they thought, why not make this into a cereal too? Just capitalize on the Dunkaroo craze. And I never know if I've even had Dunkaroos before. I just know of them from commercials and friends, but we never got into it. Ooh, that smells sweet. I mean, I think my blood sugar went up just from smelling it.
Just sweet?
Wow.
Or some kind of flavor, is it?
It's like sugar cookie sweet. It smells like sugar cookies. Yeah. I mean, it's great. It smells great. Who doesn't love a good sugar cookie? And they look like just mini little sugar cookies. We'll see. Here we go. What are you drinking today? I know you're drinking something, right? You're not eating breakfast.
I am drinking, and I am drinking a wonderful mug of loose tea. It's a Kenyan Earl Grey tea. It's got one of your bags. Well, not your bags, but you're recommended by you.
Those little tea bags, they change your life, don't they?
They totally do. I brought a bag to work and my tea experience has evolved. I'm still breaking the rules though. I am keeping the bag inside.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, not good, but not the worst thing you could do.
Adding a little bit of milk to it.
Oh, that's good. I like a good dab of milk in my tea. You ever put like agave in there or honey?
No, not really. I'm one of those people who doesn't like sweet taste.
We've gone over this. I keep forgetting because it just seems so so impossible to me that you would be that way. But hey, that's cool.
There's also one more thing. My business partner brought ice cream for everybody at Fotex Labs 2 days ago. And then everybody's like, well, where's Olga's ice cream? Well, he's the only one who knows that I don't like
he
ice
knows.
Cream.
He's like, yeah, not going to happen. That's so funny.
It's something about sweet, cold treat, like sweet cold treats don't work for me. Like
even
a frappuccino in Starbucks doesn't work for me.
You and I are polar opposites. Ice cream, if I were to say what my favorite food is, it's probably ice cream. Probably strawberry cheesecake flavored in particular. Anyway, here goes Dunkaroos cereal for kids.
What kind of milk? Your soy milk.
Soy milk.
Sounds crunchy.
Pretty good. It's crunchy off the bat. It's not real crunchy. It tastes like it's almost stale. I mean, not taste, but it's got the texture of staleness. But I think it's just a softer texture. I don't think it's actually stale. I just opened the box. I mean, it's good. It doesn't taste as sweet as it smells. I'll put it that way. It tastes sweet for sure. But I mean, you're blasted by a sweet smell. And then when you taste it, you're like, okay, that's sweet. But it's not like overpoweringly sweet, which is good. I don't want it to be too rich.
Yeah, that would be good for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you might like it. No, you still wouldn't like this. It's still too sweet for you.
We have different scales of sweetness.
We do. Yeah, definitely do. Definitely do. But it's pretty good. I like it. Worth a shot if you're into cereal exploration such as I am. It's worth a shot. I got it at grocery outlet, so who knows if it's discontinued or not. But hey, if you can find it, give it a whirl.
All right.
I got my soy milk, as we discussed. I pulled this out of my regular old plain fridge, my dumb, boring non-tech savvy fridge. It just keeps things cold like fridges have always done for decades. And we're here to change that.
And you were thinking, oh my gosh, how many more soy milks do I have left? Do I need to run to Costco or not?
And let's say I'm at the store and I'm like, do I have soy milk or do I not have soy milk? Is there this or that in my fridge? I don't know. Maybe I'll bug my wife by calling her when I'm at the store and see if we have something and she has to get inconvenienced, or maybe she's not home or whatnot. What if you could just look inside your fridge or just look at the inventory of your fridge. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. That's what we're here to do today, is to accomplish a smart fridge. Now, I was at the appliance store yesterday, picking up, actually they have mattresses too, and I was picking up a mattress for my daughter. She's got a great new bed. She'd be happy. But I saw that they had the fridge with one of those big screens on it. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, cool. This is my chance. I want to see how far technology has come.
So you did some research.
Yes, I was doing some real life research as well as online, of course. And smart fridges just aren't that smart. I asked the salesperson, what does this do? What can you do with this cool fridge with a screen? And he's like, oh, it's an iPad. And I'm like, that's it? And he said, yeah, you can connect your phone to it. And that's, he didn't have much to say. We were joking around how you can play video games on your fridge. Like, you would want to do that. But there wasn't much you can do. He said there are fridges out there with cameras. So you can just look in your fridge.
That's yeah, kind of cool. That's what I figured after my research online, mm-hmm. not the real mm-hmm. life research. But apparently most smart fridges allow you to see what's in your fridge from mm-hmm. the distance with your phone.
Whatever's in view of that camera, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the ketchup might be blocking some canned pineapple or something. I don't know. And you may not be able to see it because just the particular camera view and the fact that everybody overstuffs their fridge, right?
Well, I'm not sure if there's one camera or there are multiple cameras or if you can see it from that certain angle that shows everything. I'm not sure. It didn't explain it in those details.
Right, right. So what we're talking about is technology, both with the hardware and the software, because we have to make this smart. We have to program it to be able to recognize foods, recognize them as ingredients in recipes, being able to list things out, and not just humans viewing through cameras, but sensors scanning barcodes or even just product shapes and logos to be able to tell what certain items are. And a lot of this technology already exists. And I think that's one of the best parts about this business plan that I was putting together, is that so much of this is already done. All the hard parts pretty much are done. And we really just need to put this together in a smart way.
I like that. I like that mm-hmm. we won't have to do a lot of research. I mean, we will have to, but it's not right. something that we will have to invent that doesn't exist before and hasn't been done.
Right, right. We're not making a Star Trek teleporter or something like that. Now, we've run into that issue before. That's kind of what hindered us with the electric gym, right? I forgot what we called it. Power up, electro gym, something like that. It was a great idea, but just the technology wasn't there and we had to build new technology and that could take decades and millions of dollars and billions of dollars. Anyway, that was kind of far out of reach because of the technological capabilities that had to be created. But because so much is already done and out there and available on the market, you really just had to put it together. I think when I'm putting together this business plan, one thing I didn't want to do was to reinvent the actual fridge part of it, the keeping things cold, right? I think that's unnecessary. And even taking that a step further, I don't want to become a fridge company. And I think the best way to make this is to create this as a licensed product, right? A technological solution that is available to fridge companies for licensing deals.
Is it going to be available to fridge companies, or it's going to be something that consumers can add on to their fridge themselves?
I think
like
both.
Some sort of screen that they can fit, and maybe set of cameras, mm-hmm. some things that they can fit inside and outside of their fridge. So this old 30-year-old fridge can get a new life.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally do this with any fridge or even cabinetry. It doesn't have to be a fridge. There's nothing about the fridge storage part of it that makes this technology exclusive. So you could set this up, and I think we need to create the technology to be able to be allowed to be put into cabinetry, pantries, and being able to identify items that way as well. There might be a certain point when you stack up a big block of cans that may not be able to see at all in any way.
Oh,
the inner cans, but maybe you can scan items as you bring them
in. I would know that I can throw away half of my pantry because they're mm-hmm. all expired.
You're not going to use those anyway, so who cares? So, and that might be a process too. When you go through checkout aisles, sorry, I'm eating some more cereal. This is really good. I'm liking it.
It might be good.
So when you're going through a checkout aisle, they're already scanning your items as they go through. So I think part of the process could be just getting people used to the idea of scanning their items when they go in, when they go into cabinets, when they go in the fridge. I mean, it takes just an extra fraction of a second to just beep it through the scanner. You know, we already have that technology too, and it gets immediately input into the inventory of your fridge. The harder part comes in, do you scan it out every time you use an item? And then when it's partially used, how do we deal with that? I think that's a tougher battle to fight from a technological standpoint. So that's the part I wanted to kind of discuss with you. But first of all, part A of the business is that we will be licensing this technology to the companies, will be implementing this in their products, right? Mainly fridge companies, potentially cabinetry companies. I don't know how that would work really. But part B is selling this as an upgrade item to your existing kitchen infrastructure, if you will, right? So you want to have this technology, but you have a good fridge already. You can throw that in there. There's a racking system that we're selling, and it can come with even a screen on the front, or you can just connect this to your Wi-Fi in your home and get updates on your phone. And that scanning technology, the internal sensors, and the cameras will all work together with an app or technology that we will create that will give people real-time availability with what's in their fridge.
What I'm thinking, this kind of thing may prevent my son for drinking all the orange juice from the carton and then put the empty carton back in the fridge.
No, Olga, we cannot make miracles happen, okay? I don't know if that's going to work. Maybe here's a penalty system we can implement in there where somebody finishes something off or leaves it really low. They get penalized somehow through the app, through the technology. I don't know. But it should tell you when you're low on something, right? Your son just drank half a carton of milk or of orange juice. It's going to update that. It's going to know. And that will help them to reorder. It might even start building the list for you. If you set things on auto buy, it can connect to other apps like your online ordering apps for grocery stores, and it'll add it to your cart.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So things like that, something that you buy regularly, you can have on auto buy or autofill or whatever you want to call it, and it'll auto purchase that for you. I think another good aspect we need to remember is that this will also help you create recipe ideas based on what's in your fridge. I really love that part. And I think that's something we have to make sure is in this technology as well.
As a person who likes to eat healthy, I think this is one of the most appealing ideas for me. My biggest problem when I was a vegetarian was that I did not get enough nutrition. Yes, I was eating greens, but I was mostly eating what, broccoli, spinach, kale, <Yeah. laughs> and maybe 10 different products that I ate for years. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy. That's what my doctor told me. That's not how you're supposed to be a vegetarian. Generations and generations of vegetarians in India who have thousands of products and spices and supplements that they use to maintain a healthy vegetarian diet. So if this can help with adding a variety, especially a healthy variety, to a family's menu, I think that would be a great thing.
We could even add vegetarian and vegan statuses to the fridge. So it will detect anything that doesn't fall into those categories. Let's say you buy something that's not vegan, but you thought it was. It will red flag that item. It'll say, oops, this isn't vegan. Are you sure you want to just to let you have a non-vegan product in your fridge?
Or some people like keto diets. Mm-hmm. It's really, really popular, and they don't know if this product is keto or not keto. Some fruits and vegetables are keto friendly and others aren't. So it would be great if it could identify if it fits their diet or not.
Right. Well, let's go over a few questions I had for you, because there's some things that we discussed here that I think may or may not be able to be included. I think there's some must-haves, like there have to be cameras, of course, in there. That's something that's already existing. There has to be scanners in there or some sort of sensor system to identify the products. And there has to be the software behind it with connecting to your phone, like when you're low on items, and being able to create recipes and maybe even statuses like this. We're a vegan family, or one of us is vegan and we want to know what's vegan and not, or vegetarian, or things like that. Certain statuses, keto. So there's some great software and hardware must-haves already. But we just discussed having a scanner that you can beep things in when you put them in. Do you think that's a good idea, or do you think it's unnecessary with the sensors that are already in place? How do you feel about the
I think it's definitely a necessary thing. And we need to establish not just a scanner, but also some sort of scale that will also weigh things as they go in and out.
Okay. So, now that could be tricky, but doable.
Have some sort of way, like some sort of scanner, like people have at grocery stores at the cashier register, right? They they weigh your broccoli and they type on the screen that it's broccoli. And in our case, the scale and the camera can be in the same place, so it would identify it as broccoli. My calorie counting app identifies my broccoli as broccoli when I take a picture.
That's amazing. And that's, I think, what we have to rely on, is that kind of image recognition, that technology that exists, that we can apply to the sensor and camera software that we have inside the containers that we're trying to scan. I think you're onto something with a scale idea too, and you don't have to just limit it to produce. I think if how much a carton of orange juice weighs at its full, and then it knows that that carton has been removed and replaced back in there, it now knows how much is left, and it will know when it gets down to a certain weight, this time to remind you to reorder it because you're down to a third of your orange juice, or whatever threshold is determined to be reorder time for the orange juice. And that can be just by weight. And that was an issue we were talking about before. How will we know when things are getting low, especially in the opaque packaging products? You can't scan the level of certain liquids. Certain things might be half done. You're not sure. And I think weight is probably one of the best ways to tackle that.
Talking about this technology, it also allows you to add your own product. I'm Ukrainian, so I buy a lot of products that are non-existent on American market.
Oh, that's cool. I want to try some.
That's something that we have to plan. We have to plan a family dinner.
We should have a Ukrainian episode. A Ukrainian, maybe not language, but everything else will be Ukrainian focused, Ukrainian breakfasts, Ukrainian business ideas. I don't know if that I think that's a great idea.
Well, I think so too. For years and years when I lived in Ukraine, I didn't have a car, that because the public transportation is fantastic. But if you need some to get somewhere really quickly, you just come up to the road, you raise your hand, and whoever is going to that direction will pick you up, and you will get to where you need to go.
No way.
Yes, what? I swear.
So that's like a common hitchhiker like understanding that everyone has the public?
Yes. So that's how people make money for gas. So if somebody, I lived in the more coastal part of town, and I often had to go to downtown. So I would come out, I would tell them the street I need to go to, and they would give me the price, or I would give them the price, because that's how much I wanted to pay. And we would go there. And sometimes if this was the main thing that the person did with his life, he would pick up another passenger. And then when I told this to my American friends, they would say, "Aren't you afraid? Isn't it dangerous?" And it wasn't. But then when I was here, maybe 10 years after I moved, Uber came up.
Of course.
And they solved the problem of, is it dangerous? Because they do background checks on people, and it becomes more secure. But so this is kind of my Ukrainian business idea.
That's really cool. Just this like general hitchhiker attitude with the financial compensation built in. I love it. I think the best ideas, it proves to you that nothing is new under the sun. Everything's been done. All these new ideas we've had, probably somebody else has had already. And no matter how smart you think you are, somebody else has thought of it. But I love it, because it doesn't mean that it's a done deal. It doesn't mean you can't continue with that idea.
Exactly.
And Uber is case in point of that right there. So that's really cool. Okay. But we're getting sidetracked. Back to food storage, smart food storage. So we're all together on this so far. And I think, okay, going back to the weight issue, I think this is a fantastic way. Let's say every shelf that we have in the fridge is like a giant scale. Okay. And it's built to keep constant record of how much weight is on it at any given time. And that way, when you take an item out and put it back in, it recognizes that that weight has changed on that particular item.
I don't think we need something that big. I think if we're going to make this into a portable solution, then we just need one particular space in the fridge where we would be able to scan things in and scan things out. So that's going to be just one platform with a weight, like with a scale and with a scanner. So when you take things out, you scan it and you take it out. When you put things in, you scan it and you put it in.
Okay. No, I would agree with you that I think what I was going with, everything's a scale on all the platforms, is that it will tell you when things are lower in volume or weight. And yes, that way it can keep track of the actual usage of the food, because the problem with is we can't really easily input how much food is left with any given container.
We can when we scan it in.
Right, but that seems cumbersome to me. You have to scan it in, then you have to say, okay, this is approximately 60% gone or used or whatever. It just seems like an extra step that might be able to be overcome with something as simple as a weight system.
I agree with you, but every fridge is different. We will face a challenge that our shelving systems will have to fit different sizes of fridge, and that might be a problem. So it might just stop people from buying because they will know that it won't work for their fridge.
I agree with you to a point, but I think a lot of fridges, and maybe this takes more research, but I think a lot of fridges are pretty standardized with their shelving systems. And especially the more modern fridges, there's sort of a set width, let's just say, with the standard fridge. And we don't have to cater to every single fridge that's out there. Or maybe we can make an adjustable model where you have to make sure that your food's all in this platform because it's off to the side. Then it won't keep track of the weight or won't scan properly or something like that. But if we kind of create just the ideal fridge or most common fridge sort of system, that's a good place to start. And we can work and do product updates from there. I'm on the side of the scales, it sounds like, or the scale, everything's a scale. It sounds like you only want to have one scaled section. Or am I convincing you?
I think we need to do a little bit more research and check the sizes and check if anybody is actually making custom shelves for fridges. I remember when I had an old fridge and one of the shelves broke. Mm-hmm. I had such a hard time finding a replacement.
Oh, did you really? Wow.
It took months.
Oh my gosh. See, I've broken shelves before too, and for me, it was a simple Amazon search with my model, and there's somebody that sells those shelves. It didn't seem too hard for me, but maybe it's different times or different fridges. I don't know. But I think the shelving system is somewhat standardized, but that will take more research. It sounds like either way we go, this isn't a dead idea, right? There's a solution out there.
No, it actually sounds like something a container store would carry.
Yeah.
because they sell shelving for everything.
They do. I think the hard part might be making the scale thin enough that it doesn't take up too much space, vertical space in the fridge. So if you have a scale that has to be 6 inches tall, that will limit that shelf height and the products you put in there just to accommodate a scale, where if you can get it down to 2 inches tall, that won't be as big of an effect on the overall space of your fridge.
Do we need something more advanced than just a regular kitchen scale? Because the regular kitchen scale are like half an inch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And hopefully we can replicate that thinness that's available in the technology nowadays and incorporate that. That's just a concern I had. Make sure that we get the technology there. So business plan-wise, We have these wonderful ideas, and I think they're great. We're going to need a few different people to help implement this. First of all, I really think that as far as engineering goes for building these things, we really only need one person for this, because the technology already exists, because you just need somebody, one good person, by the way, that is smart enough to put these all together for the basic overall idea and be able to help you arrange these different models and styles and sizes that you're going to need. And then you're going to need some good legal help when it comes to intellectual property, because we believe that this is very patent heavy. This is going to be licensed products. You're going to need somebody, a proficient attorney who knows IP, intellectual property, well enough to be able to help you build those protections and those licensings that you need to be able to start building these deals, because your whole business model is going to rely on licensing this out to other companies to implement them in their products and in their, right, their services.
Right. Otherwise, what's stopping Samsung?
Yeah, they're just going to take it. Yeah, exactly. Or change something just a little bit, right? So that's, we're going to need some big time help with that. You're also going to need at least one, maybe a couple different programmers, somebody that knows the coding and the ability to put together the software to engineer that, to work with the hardware to build that cohesive system, because it's both hardware and software is needed to create the system.
Do we want the system to talk with cell phones?
Oh, absolutely. How could it not? Yeah, absolutely. Maybe even certain alerts, like it'll buzz your phone when somebody's down in the kitchen at midnight opening the fridge, and it'll say, oh, somebody opened the fridge. Hey, who's trying to sneak some food out there?
Olga, you missed breakfast today. You only had tea.
Or you could connect this to your dietitian, and they could get regular updates on how much usage you're actually using, not just what you're telling me you're using.
I have second thoughts about this.
You don't know if you want to have this anywhere. That's funny. So there's unlimited possibilities, but you absolutely have to connect this to the world, to the online mobile device ecosystem that's out there. Absolutely. So you need probably at least one good tech person who knows coding really well, who knows software development, and certain sort of legwork parts of the coding can be done to outsourcing. And then that tech person can be the overseer and the person that codes the more fine-tuned, necessary, more difficult parts of this, and can select the right APIs. And we can all work together on selecting how we want to be connected to different things, like dietitian apps, like grocery store ordering, things like that. You're going to need to connect to that via the software in a cohesive way that it all works together and talks together and works properly. So you need both of those. So very, very tech heavy type of product. And of course, you're going to need the administration of it all, the leadership of it, the administration. I don't know necessarily that you need like a board of directors like we've had with our other apps, but I think you do need sort of a project overseer, somebody that can kind of
absolutely, yeah,
put everything together and keep everybody meeting together and talking the same language and making sure that we're all putting it together in a way that makes sense. And from then on, you start talking with, once you get to a certain point of completion, you start talking with the fridge manufacturers and the people that can produce these products, the different factories and whatnot, and you start making these deals with them.
I would do that as soon as the legal aspect of it is finished, because that would help identify the interest. That would help you with your market research. Is this as exciting to everybody else, including the fridge manufacturers, as it is for us?
That's true. But it might be a thing. You put all this money and effort into it and nobody wants it. And for some reason, it's just not as cool as we thought it was. But there's sort of a give and take with the risk reward aspect of that too. If you do it too early, sure, you might get ripped off, or you might put other businesses, other companies in a sour mood because you're not reaching certain deadlines that you thought you might be able to with being able to get in with them. But if you do it too late, then you might be behind the eight ball, or you might have produced all of this technology and all of these products and gotten so far and spent so much money and time and effort into it just to realize it is not that cool anymore like you thought it was. So, but what? That's why we're here in this podcast, because we think it's cool and we're here to put it out there in the world to think if other people think it's cool. Exactly. And if they're willing to put their money where their mouth is to invest in it. And if they are, then there has to be an interest in it, right?
And there's a place where you can express your opinion. It's the serialpodcast.com. Let us know what you think about our smartest fridge idea.
Is this as cool as we think it is? Do you think that this could really help out the world and your kitchen in the way that we are purporting that it can? Let us know. And let us know how you like these episodes, how you like the podcast, how you like this particular episode. You can still go to theserialpodcast.com and let us know what you think of it. Do you like this business idea? Do you like previous business ideas? Do you like Olga? Do you like Matt?
Do you have like a financial person who can join us on the show?
Do you have a numbers person, fractional CFO, or even a bookkeeper that really enjoys new business ideas? Someone that can really help us in that area. I might have a guest on our financial episode for this story, so I'm working with it. We'll see if he can just come on for just a one time and dip his toes in our world and see if it works for him or not. And if you have a business, or if you have a business idea or something that you want to run by a marketing expert, talk to Olga, talk to Fotex Labs. Those guys are amazing. They will take your idea. They'll be honest with you, but diplomatically about your plans, about your dreams and your vision, and they can bring it to life and they can make you shine and they can give you new ideas and expert opinions on how things work in the world of digital marketing. Do you need a website? Call Olga. Do you need an email marketing campaign? Call Olga. Do you need some social media help because we're all doing it wrong? Call Olga. When I say call, I really mean email, because I'm not giving her a phone number. I'm giving her email. It is support@fotexlabs.com. Her and her team will be excited to take your business to the next level. Give her an email ring.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. I sincerely appreciate your compliments and always talking highly about our services. And if you have started a business or are starting a business, or if you have a business that uses a payment processing that doesn't serve you anymore, if you have concerns that you're paying too much, if you have outdated systems that you always have to figure out how to get paid, talk with Matt. Matt is amazing at creating custom solutions for your business, something that will work exactly the way you want it to. And if you're worried about transition, you're not transitioning with the help of a bigger company, and you will not have to stay forever on the phone waiting for support. Matt is going to be there every step of the way, helping you transition seamlessly. So the email is matt@sandiegopaymentprocessing.com. So send him an email.
Yes, not a ring, an email. Thank you very much, Olga, for that. And if you like this podcast, tell your friends, tell the world, help us to grow our audience, because we love doing this and we love including everybody in the startup process. And we hope to get a lot more ideas. So if you have a business idea, go to theserialpodcast.com, let us know what it is, and you might be featured in one of the next episodes. And with that, we'd like to see you next week.
Right. It's marketing next week.
Marketing next week. Olga's in charge. We'll see you then.
We hope you enjoyed a double helping of insight and inspiration. Would you like to pitch your big idea, be a guest, invest, or simply share your thoughts with the Serial Entrepreneurs? Visit theserialpodcast.com.